Welcome to another episode of Yes, You Know. This is the Minimalist Podcast of Tech and News. Today, I bring to you a higher and better quality of the podcast. And the reason why I'm doing this is because obviously after listening to myself, and one of the number one things that I try to do and at least attempt to do is bring better quality moving forward. I know there's a lot of podcasts that are out there that are competing for your attention, and the last thing you want to do is hear a voice in your ears digesting or at least retrieving, maybe passively, and listening to a poor quality or less than desirable quality. I wonder how you're taking this in or if it's retrieving well. We'll like to know. However, today's podcast is technically surrounding tech news, as you like how I did there. It has everything to do with Bill Gates. Bill Gates has always been on the front line of Microsoft, but yet as of recently, there has been a lot of discussion surrounding his attempts to go meatless and having people agree to eating bugs along with, you know, the Impossible Burger, as people would put it together, which is a bunch of just nonsense, tofu, bugs, and whatnot. On top of that, Bill Gates has also been owning a lot of land, farmland at that. So he's been taking up a lot of land that, you know, perhaps is for farming, but we have not seen the type or style of farming he's looking to introduce. However, Bill Gates is a billionaire with a B, probably in the hires of the B. And the reason why I say this is because Bill Gates had practically owned Microsoft for a very long time. And obviously, because of that, he pretty much is well off than most people, and at that point you can call it generational wealth, but that's not what I'm here to talk about. I'm here to talk about his stance on climate change and what does that mean in particular to you and everybody else that's out there. Well, climate change has always been on the forefront of Democrats. This is something that the Republicans have said, you know what? We're not going to focus on these things. Let's go ahead and focus on what's in front of us. And obviously, it has hurt the Republican to be reelected in-house. But this is nor talking about the Republican side or the Democratic side. I'm only positioning this because this is the direction that he is going in as a tech billionaire. And I don't always agree with tech industries getting into the politics, especially a person like him at his, you know, like someone who has the slightest clue. This is like Jeff Bezos talking about climate change and Amazon turning to a all zero emissions. And given that Amazon has gone in different directions, and this is a different conversation to talk about because Amazon as a whole has talked about climate change and going zero emissions with their vehicles. And yet we have not seen anything of it, but yet we're talking about Bill Gates. But Bill Gates has talked about trying to convince Republicans to at least agree that this is a major problem. And I cannot disagree that climate, the only planet that we're living in, we should take care of what we have in front of us instead of going out into space and maybe perhaps going into Mars, as Elon Musk had mentioned, wanting to, you know, be a dual, maybe planetary system. And some people might agree with that. He's like just starting all over again. But what does starting all over really means? And that's just an atmosphere that can be, you know, provided to another human, or at least transport humans to another element that is completely different from the human form that's here already as it is. We have to think of it technologically, and perhaps think of it in a manner that it's feasible. But when we're talking about doing things that's innovative we tend to forget the human aspect of things, right? The limitations and the capacity of humans in today's world is not there. So we're trying to veer off, or at least reduce the curve of admissions. And the best way possible, as Bill Gates had mentioned, is to go solar, replace your gas guzzling cars, remove gas stoves, maybe perhaps just natural gas as a whole, and go to hydrogen, go to EVs, and perhaps use storage capacities like battery banks. There's a lot to be said about these technologies. Now, first off, well, let's talk about storage capacities in EVs. And obviously, the biggest problem with EVs, and I am an EV advocate and owner of a Tesla Model 3. It has nothing to do with the fact that I have range anxiety, because I don't. You know, honestly, Tesla has done a great job curbing that, meaning that they have networks that just work. Unlike the other networks that are out there, like Electrify America, which struggles to keep up, and ChargePoint, which struggles to keep up, which most of the time, as an EV owner, I might have to use a ChargePoint. And even then, it's a struggle because their systems are either A, down, or the people who have these systems are not truly maintaining these items. So In the long run, we have to fix, at least come up with a solid plan moving forward, right? We get it, right? As most people who are in the business of doing things, at least throw something at the wall. It doesn't have to be the 50% solution, at least get us to 30, which is a really bad mentality as a whole. And the reason why I say this is, as Bill Gates has mentioned, storage, EVs, hydrogen, going to solar, these are all great concepts, but in the grand scheme of things, how does it work in today's society? It's not. And the reason why people keep talking about climate change, it's a direction that the government wants to go, and we have to be leading the charge. And leading the charge meaning that if we're going to be the ones directing this, then we need to come up with at least something that we can say, hey, we put a pin on this one and we're going for it, and here is our results. And the reality is, we're not there. And the reason why I say that we're not there is, who is this targeting? We're targeting the middle class Americans. Let's stop here. Middle class Americans. And these middle class Americans, as of today, I don't know if you saw the interest rates, but they're ridiculous. And I have my own conspiracy in regards to all of this, but I really want to say this much. Middle-class Americans only make perhaps $80,000, $100K. These are middle-class Americans. These are above, you know, your $50,000 range. And I say this much, right? The average American probably perhaps makes about $40,000, maybe $40,000 a year. And this is conservative, right? I'm only saying this as a guesstimate. And forgive me for getting the facts wrong, but middle-class Americans can't even afford an EV, and let alone inflation as a whole. If you are a person or a family of maybe two, which I am as well, when you go grocery shopping, you don't go grocery shopping for yourself. You go grocery shopping for yourself, the family. And then on top of that, what else comes into mind? We forget about healthcare. We forget about gas. We forget about electricity, obviously, for the home, which then, again, admissions. So why have solar systems in your house, given that you're out of your house? And maybe perhaps you work from home, and that can be enough to electrify your home with, you know, maybe one AC unit, maybe two or three. I don't know. If you have a central air unit, then maybe you're saving money there too as well. But what am I saying here? As a middle class American, can you tack on more in the name of climate change, solar system, the United States would have to give somewhat of a tax write-off. And this is where Bill Gates get into, right? As a tech billionaire, he is at least trying to lead the charge to say that I am willing to step up to the stepping stone, put my neck here, my head forward, so that everybody can chuck tomatoes at me. Just to say, let's go ahead and start dealing with climate change. And given that the Pew Research has said that they agree, right, as most Americans, or at least the Congress and those who are Republicans and Democrats, can agree that climate change is a major importance. But the fact is that most Americans don't really agree with climate change. People are looking for jobs and opportunities. This inflation is what's killing us. And yet we're going to say that we are going to artificially decrease. And I mean artificially decrease oil prices by going and tapping into our oil reserve to then say, yeah, we have low oil prices. And as of today, I think the oil prices went up to 110 per barrel, which then means it trickles down to the consumer. Who pays for all of this? It's not the company will pay for this, but eventually it reaches our pockets in many different ways than you think. And technology today, you know, obviously hasn't changed for pumping out oil. And we like to say that we want to go ahead and curb oil as a whole and maybe perhaps go to solar because it's going to be a lot more sustainable. And in the long run, we can afford to have those higher prices of oil to be transported over to the consumer, right? We're talking about milk. We're talking about transportation for trucks. We're talking about perhaps lights, right? And also everything that requires oil. And you're talking about plastics and even the very own laptop that you own and use, and also airplanes and things of that nature, right? And I use this as an arbitrary thing, as a bubble, as a whole, compassing. Why am I mentioning this? It's because most people don't always think, and maybe perhaps Bill Gates has a good agenda to talk about climate change and maybe filling in his pockets. Filling in his pockets, or anyone who's a billionaire that wants to be more of a billionaire above everything else, is one way to do it. I mean, let's look at the facts here. If Bill Gates is championing something, or whenever a person who has the riches, and this person is rich as they possibly can be ever, what is their motive? Who are they doing it for? What part of the United States is, you know, perhaps tugging in his pockets? Don't know. It's not for me to tell. It's not my story. But as the average American, like myself and you and those who are listening to this, can also attest and agree to, this is something that is not easily obtainable by the average American. You tell me, how much can you afford, especially with gas prices going up, right? And you say, well, now I'm going to go ahead and tack on solar. Okay, so let's talk about solar and the technology for solar. What is the average lifespan of solar? Can you afford it? Where is this technology coming from, first off? And is it all American made? And if that's so, how much is that going to hurt our pockets? Because the last time I looked into solar, it was at least at $50,000, right, for a whole system, and not to include a storage bank. And let's not get into storage banks, because obviously people don't think that these batteries don't come from somewhere, and somewhere along the lines, it's ruining the earth itself. And yet we're talking about climate change, but we're digging far enough into the earth to retrieve these precious metals. And we keep saying China, China, China. What about China? What about us? What is it that we're doing? And we talk about Elon Musk as he is the golden child and savior for maybe he is, I don't know, for something similar to how can we obtain the storage. That storage is something like cobalt, some type of iron, and how we're going to retrieve these minerals and have it towed over to us, things of that nature. Now, I get a little upset over the fact that these people want to talk and throw in our face consistently that said we need to be sustainable. We need to stay away from gas and oil and natural gases and fish for our own and be the leading country as we need to be. Obviously, we stopped fighting with other countries, right? Because we haven't been there since, I don't know, since we got out of Iraq. But yet we have a proxy war somewhere else happening, spending billions of dollars there. But Bill Gates has this focus on going zero emissions. Please explain how you tend to want to curve this for our own government in the United States, that yet we talk about leading the charge, but yet we're not there. Let's talk about the cars. The cars itself is expensive. The average person, as I mentioned to you earlier, could only afford a car that's roughly about $20,000, maybe as going up as $30,000. And most people can say they can comfortably afford that with a payment of maybe $400, maybe $500 a month. But that is stretched completely. And yet we also want to talk about that they can get subsidies. What subsidies are those? Those subsidies come from somewhere. The tax payer. And where does taxes come from? The middle class, those who are paying into it. You say, well, big corporations should give us more money or pay into taxes a lot more. They do and they don't. They pass it on to the consumer. We say, well, corporations are the ones developing jobs, which then makes more sense so that they can have a tax break. Look, listen, I would like to just stop and preface this much here for you. I want to hear your thoughts and opinions about this because obviously I'm thinking into this way too much. And obviously there's a trickle effects pretty much everything here. There's an inner web that is all connected together. And if one falls, the rest falls apart. Or maybe perhaps it's an inner web that is something that if something breaks, something else takes in its place. Well, here it is. Most people cannot afford a car that is like an EV, especially that's a Tesla. And most Teslas nowadays are not $30,000, $40,000, and your car payments are not $300, $400. We're talking about a car payment of maybe perhaps upwards to $700. And that's straight up financing. Never mind leasing, because if you lease, you're not owning the vehicle. You're just kind of temporarily borrowing the vehicle. You might as well just go rent a vehicle every once in a while. If we're going to say we're going to change transportation as a whole, right? Buses and perhaps trolley systems. And some way, somehow, we put in horse carriages into the mix. Nothing bad all happens in that regard. But yet, we want to introduce things like lower emissions. We have to look at things in an increment. And yet, we can't get there because inflation, the money is not being lasted. The middle-class Americans can't afford beyond their mortgage and another maybe car payment. Yet, we are being outpaced through inflation to then say we need to afford now solar, battery banks, hydrogen. We can't use our stoves anymore. And technology was supposed to be the great savior of all of this. We're going to be saved completely. Yeah. Thank you, Bill Gates. You made a great computer and then it evolved to just you as a software company that just concentrates on software to let all of the other companies like Lenovo and maybe Dell and HP and everybody else across the world having a Windows computer, right? And that's just not just a Windows computer. It is a Windows OS. Thank you for that, right? Because if it wasn't for that, there wouldn't be any networking or perhaps anything that's interconnecting to us via internet. This is the reality. And we can say, well, we can have something like, I don't know, Linux. We love Linux, but that is a open source, which, by the way, it's a different conversation to get into. why does this bug me so much? Is that we have a billionaire talking about why do we need to have gas cars? Why do we need gas stove? Why do we need, you know, and this is a person that has a private jet and finds himself on a jet traveling across the world to meet up with other people to talk about just exactly the same thing, being zero emissions in their private jets, which there are a large emitter, the hypocrite of this person to say the same across the board. You could have went on a Zoom call to say the same thing and say, hey, I'm looking to, you know, reduce carbon emission. This is how I'm looking to do it. Amazon, you're no different either, right? I mean, you're pretty much automating a lot of the jobs, putting people out of work. And to be perfectly honest with you, it's okay to put people out of work because then that also increases, I don't know, value in a different area. You know, gives room for other people to do bigger and better things. But this is not a conversation to be had now, which I would have to address later. So I would like to get into a conversation, or at least not a conversation, something that he said. And it's funny because it's part of the Inflation Reduction Act, which was packed with full of taxes. I like I said to you before, I am not against taxes, but the bottom line is this is something that affects people's bottom number. This is your pockets, my pockets. I don't get paid to make these podcasts. This is actually pretty free to me, and I'm posting it for free, right? Because I'm not paying to post it either. I'm just on Spotify for free because I've been on here long enough. So he says here, and this is the CNBC.com, and he is something. Well, let's put it like this: Bill Gates, founder of Breakthrough Energy and co-chair of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, speaks on stage at New York Times Climate Forward Summit 2023 at the Times Center of September 21st, 2023 in New York City. Republicans for Climate Change Act our goal, said Bill Gates. The billionaire climate and investor on Thursday says on this event, the number of Republicans convinced that response to climate change is a priority has got to be the number that we managed to increase over time, Gates says. That's because climate change mitigation and adaptation will require sustained investment and support from the public and private sectors, Gates says. So this is also packaged inside the Inflation Reduction Act. So why am I mentioning this? Here's a line that really gets me. It's mitigation adaptation of or will require sustained investment and support from the public and private investors. How do you figure that the public has the innovation and also the motivation to curve things like emission? You just can't make these things up. How do you expect a normal person like myself that drives a regular vehicle on one day and then an EV the next day? Doesn't make me rich. Let me just say this much, right? You can't tell a person like myself and a normal person to say, you will stop using your stove, right? Because it's bad for the emission. You will stop using hairspray, especially with those with aerosol in it, because it's bad. You can tell people you can no longer eat or drink anything with ethylene in it because it's bad for you. This ethylene is something along the lines of like fake sugar, right? With I guess that's what it's called. I cannot agree to any of this, especially because if you're saying we're going to be subsidized through the Inflation Reduction Act, we say, hey, we're looking to reduce our light. And this is given that this goes way before our time when we went from halogen lights to LED, the push to go from LEDs to now something else, right? But LED has been the biggest push they've ever had, right? We're no longer using regular light bulbs. Our energy is down to a minimum, right? These are things that, you know, refrigerators are no longer using the same amount of energy. As a matter of fact, the average home is probably using a lot less wattage on a monthly than they used to be. However, because of inflation and also the increase in oil prices, that is still hurting the bottom line of those in middle class. You can't make this up. Middle class Americans are being hurt again. And you can say, well, you know, maybe reduce a little bit more. It's like, well, how much do you want me to reduce, right? LED lights, I got a better and efficient AC unit that, you know, perhaps hangs from my window. If not, I have a central air unit that has been monitored, and also on a yearly basis, I have it cleaned and maintained for efficiencies, right? How does a person have the motivation to go ahead and I'm going to start my company and it's going to be sustainable? And guess what? I'm going to start a lawn mowing service using my Ryobi all electric to mow maybe 3, maybe 4 lawns. You tell me, how long does a lawn take? And on top of that, how long does it take to charge a battery? And I'll be honest with you, without the sun and your battery banks and everything else, you can call that one pretty much a loss or a hard thing to inquire, right? These are hard things to do. So the public, maybe perhaps the private sectors, right? Maybe they have methods and ways to mitigate, as they say, mitigate green emissions. How does a person do that? Okay, here's an example that I would like to use. A person at a corporation has maybe 100 employees. You say, oh, hey, 100 employees, you guys are no longer going to come into work. You guys are all going to be remote. This is one factor. The best way that I can think of as mitigating emissions is saying, well, now because you can work from home, you don't no longer have to drive into work, which then, you know, given that the average person honestly drives about maybe 25 minutes on the highway, 25 minutes to get to work, 30 minutes tops, and in and out of the city, right? So you no longer have to call, you don't have to start your vehicle, you don't have to drive your vehicle, you don't have to put gas in your vehicle, you no longer need oil. Maybe perhaps you need some of that stuff for your personal reasoning. But the reality is you're only driving about 30 minutes one way. On top of that, you don't need a building. You don't need a physical structure, which now means you don't need lights. You don't need to pay for heating. You no longer have to pay, I don't know, fill in the blanks. You're saving on emissions one way or the other. Let's use this a little bit further. Let's get really into nitty gritties. Okay, so I don't have a server. I have a server room. And the server people have to VPN in. I'm going to switch my services to an online cloud of, I don't know, AWS, right? Now you have Amazon. Now, every single person that, you know, the 100 people that are part of this company now can just log in from their home, log into AWS, maybe perhaps a virtual machine that's connected to it. And there you go. That's one way to sustain or curb those, climate. Maybe perhaps by a point. I don't know. This is all factual or just made up. I'm making it up as I go. But here's the thing that you have to think of, right? The thing is that you have to think of is how does this affect long term, right? You're saying companies in a private sector, these are one way to do it. Maybe they're into, I don't know, they're into doing steel, making steel, right? Like that is a real job. How are you going to tell a person that has a steel company that you would have to mitigate your, at least minimize your emissions? And I was like, now I have to look for new tools to cut a piece of, I don't know, I-beam? Now, how do I transport all of these I-beams from one area to another? Do I have to get an all-electric, I don't know, Tesla Semi? That's all costs. How much is the government really looking to subsidize? And if we look back a little bit, the United States, at least the government, our government, we're looking into changing the direction, right, for these buses, only to realize, and this is, and I would have to look up the research or at least research it once again, because they were saying we can do this with buses. I honestly don't believe that they were successful in this regards, because they didn't realize how much a bus, you know, at least converting it and also brand new, was about the same, if not more, for a used vehicle to convert it. Especially you're talking about transporting, and obviously these are the things that this is real life, right? This is something that happened. They were only able to, I think they were talking about like 100 buses. I think they were only able to do 10. I don't know. I'm making this up at this point. So I have to look it up again. And I think one of the buses were like closer to $500,000. And given that the range was good, right? Good enough. But the problem is, hear me out. The problem is with these EV buses has everything to do with capacity. The more children or more people you put on the bus, the heavier the load is. When you have heavier load, you're putting a lot of stress on the engine, or perhaps the motor itself. Maybe it could be four motors, one in each wheel or axis. And obviously, it's going to be a fast bus, no problem. Right? Fine. Good. Let's use this as an example. Regular weather at 60 to 70 degrees, right, which is perfect weather. Now you have a load on a perfect, I don't know, evening or afternoon. Right, you can get about 400 miles with one single charge, fully loaded, offloading and unloading people. Now let's talk about the higher temperatures, because now the batteries itself can be composable, that you have ways to like cool down the battery. Okay, fine. You're going to say, well, I'm going to stick a solar system right on top of the bus. That's going to mitigate a little bit of that. And it's going to run the battery power to cool it off, right? You need coolant to keep the batteries at a certain temperature. And guess what? When the batteries run hot, you're going to get less performance out of it. That's just the reality. That happens to me all the time, especially in my Tesla. You'd be like, well, maybe that's not, you know, the technology of today. Maybe tomorrow the technology is going to get better. The only way to get better is to start owning these things. True story. I am with you on this topic. And to be perfectly honest with you, it is not something that people in the private sector are looking to do today. And it's not, unfortunately. And I have to disagree with Bill Gates on this one. It's not because I don't like his products. It's just the idea behind it all just sounds very suspicious. One, and two, it is not sustainable for the normal and average American, which sometimes, well, let's put it this way. These Americans that were working in the fields and the mines or minefields and whatnot. Now, I say minefields, but what I mean is those who work with their hands, blue-collar workers, are out of work because of these initiatives. I mean, we can put in the fact that we're also automating a lot of these jobs that you sit down on. I mean, it won't surprise me that my podcast will be automated. But let's go back a little bit. If you're going to go ahead and do something like this, you have to think, how is this going to affect long-term? Do we continue down the same road path that we're currently in? And we get two separate sides of the coin. These individuals, one coin, right, the one side, the head, and you have the tails. The head are the ones who are wanting to go ahead with these things and say, yes, we are going to be better. We are going to do better. We are going to see the future. This is our future today, right? Now, the tail side of things is like, well, let's just hold off a little bit, see how far this thing goes. Let's go ahead and do increments. But yet, we want to... Where we meet in the middle is kind of like where that edge of that quarter is. And how do we meet in the middle is obviously is taking both sides and just tilting it up. And then there's only two ways you can go once you have the quarter tilted facing up or down. Well, actually, there's three things that can happen to a quarter as they're meeting in the middle, right? It can teeter to the left, it can teeter to the right, but then it can only go forward and back or lay on its side. But the problem is, if you lay it on its side, whether it be heads or tail, if it lays on its side, then we're not going anywhere. If it's going forward, then guess what? We're going in the direction that we need to be in. But that's a direction. It's not positive or negative. If we're going backwards, that's not positive or negative. It's because we're rolling it back because we realize that things are going terrible. We go forward because things are going better. That's the way to think about it. Now, let me just pause here. Now, solar systems as a whole, maybe 50K. We're talking about battery banks. That's another 50K. That's 100K. We're looking at the loan. What's the loan look like? We're saying, well, the loan is probably going to be, I don't know, $300 a month, which is similar to what you're paying today at your electricity bill. Let's think that through. So, buses going fully electric, your car is fully electric, solar system supplying your house, which you're not home in, perhaps you are remote, as most children go to school, right? We're not doing online schooling anymore because I hope not. I really don't hope. I do hope that online schooling does not take off or virtual schools do not take off because it's be a detriment to the learning of anybody. Given that most colleges have reverted back to hybrid classes because curve it in the sense that they want more money. Let's just put it. I was just trying to save myself here. But think about it. Why are we doing this? Should it be sustainable? I'm going to just stop here as a whole and would like to hear your thoughts and opinions about Bill Gates' direction and climate change. And if you do have an argument over it, I'm willing to hear it. I'm willing to put you on the podcast. At least give me your perspective, but also realize that it's a conversation. I definitely want to have a conversation with those who believe that climate change is a problem, or at least drop me a couple lines here on Spotify, because you can send me something on Spotify to let me know what your thoughts and opinions are, and I can put you on here. But other than that, I'm pretty bothered by it. Because it's not something that is going to be easy for anybody, especially if the government's going to push for this, or we keep talking about that we're leading the charge for one of maybe five countries, right? Germany's, let's not say Germany, let's just say Europe, Australia, North America, Canada. Obviously, we're going to put Canada in there. They're not really North Americans because they don't care about us, right? We're like below them, figuratively and literally, right? I think that's what they put themselves as. But other than that, I'm going to leave this podcast as it is right now. I'm willing to hear your thoughts and opinions. And until then, I'll catch you on the next one. Good night.